All right, we'll talk to Len Casper, the voice of the White Sox, in a couple of moments. He will be in Houston tomorrow night to kick off the 2023 campaign. Pedro Grifol and the White Sox against Houston and Dusty Baker, the defending champs.
Did they do that on purpose, the Jose Abreu thing? Like, did baseball do that on purpose? Put the White Sox there to see?
I think that schedule was already set before he chose the Houston Astros. I think he would have stayed here if they had offered him. They did not. They did not. Len joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Len, happy opening day tomorrow and welcome back on the air. How excited are you to kick baseball off?
Oh, I'm so excited. This is going to be fun. And we're in Houston where the Final Four is. I guess my only regret is Shaka Smart didn't get the Golden Eagles down here. But that's okay.
Yeah, that would have been cool if the Golden Eagles had made it. That's your alma mater, right?
That absolutely is, yes.
There you go. They had them going far.
Len, I had them going farther than they did, if it makes you feel any better.
I think there are a lot of brackets that are pretty awful looking at the moment.
So bad. So bad. I think I threw mine away on the first day, Thursday afternoon. Like, it was like two games in and I was done. So as you are there getting ready for this first season with Pedro Grifol, what have you learned about him and the style of manager he will be for this White Sox team?
I've been so impressed with him. He kind of has that born to manage vibe about him. If you look at his resume, minor league catcher, real good career at Florida State, did not get to the big leagues, then kind of went the coaching instructor, front office route, manager at the minor league level, gets to the big leagues as a coach with the Royals, and has worked very hard to get to this point, has interviewed with a few teams, and as he indicated the other day in one of the stories, you know, it never happens that a guy in Pedro's position gets a job with a team that's kind of built to win. It's usually a rebuild or something like that. So, you know, he kind of jumps on a moving train that's going pretty fast, and I was really impressed with how he ran camp, and, you know, this is his time to shine, and as a bench coach, I think you watch and learn, and you kind of take notes on how you might do things. And, you know, so far it looks like he's implemented a lot of those things early on and has set the tone and set the ground rules for how this is going to go.
So we were comparing and contrasting the Cubs and the White Sox lineups. Both teams, the Sox, there's more expectation, in my opinion, because there's some more proven talent. The Cubs are trying to come back from their second rebuild in a decade. When you look at Yoan Moncada, what is your level of expectation on him? Because I find him as a baseball fan to be maddeningly frustrating, because I see so much freaking ability.
Yeah, I mean, the number one thing is can he stay on the field and give you 145 games? And I think that's what his goal is and what the White Sox goal is. The way I talk about Moncada is when he has a good game, he's the best player on the planet, right? Mm-hmm. And he had a couple of, I think, five-hit games last year where you're like, wow, that's the guy. But it just hasn't all kind of come together. And obviously, you go back to the COVID year, you know, he clearly was just not himself, and that might have lingered into 21 a little bit. And then last year he got hurt right at the end of spring training. Now, that happened again this year, but I don't anticipate that the back issue is going to linger too much, and we'll find out more today after the workout if he's good to go tomorrow night. But for me, Cap, it's about the World Baseball Classic, and you know, he made the All-WBC team, which is really hard to do, had a great tournament, and I'm hopeful that he and obviously Tim had a lot of fun. Lance Lynn pitched really well. But the WBC guys, Jose Ruiz, 4 1/3 scoreless for Venezuela, that all those guys come back with a little extra bounce in their step.
Dylan Cease gets the opening day start. No surprise there. How does he follow up his season from last year?
I think the changeup might be a little more in play this year. You know, his slider became the most devastating pitch in the game. But I think most guys in his position, they just want to make sure that they're using all four pitches. I think Michael Kopech is in a similar boat. You know, he kind of became a two-pitch guy. But by and large, you know, the fastball for Dylan is going to be a great weapon with that slider, and his stuff looked good. He had a terrible outing against the Royals, but then seemed to get better every start after that. And I know it's a big honor for him to start tomorrow night. These are tough matchups against the Astros. You know, you've got Framber Valdez and Christian Javier, who combined a no-hitter in the World Series last year, and Urquidy and Garcia. They don't even have Verlander, and McCullers is hurt, but this is still a pretty formidable group. So I look forward to the pitching matchups this weekend.
In terms of the shortstop position, you have two shortstops, in, like the Cubs do. They've got Horner Swanson, you've got Andrus and T.A. What do you expect defensively out of the middle of the White Sox defense?
Yeah, there are a lot of teams doing that, right? The Padres are doing it. I think there are several teams. I guess the Rangers, right? Marcus Semien, the second baseman, he used a shortstop for a long time. I think that's the way to go with the new shifting rules, because you do need to have more athleticism, and second base is kind of not the statue position that maybe it was during the shifting era. Elvis is an interesting guy in that, you know, he has kind of joked about how weird it is playing second base, but he looks the part, you know, and if you can play short, you can play second. And I would anticipate the defense should be a lot better this year. It has to be. Look, last year, the defense was not good and gave away too many runs and probably preserved too many outs for the opposition. And if your pitching staff is going to have guys hit ground balls, you want them to be outs. Lucas Giolito the other day got like 13 ground ball outs. I was talking to him. I said, have you ever gotten that many ground balls? He said, no, but his slider was working really well. So the infield defense, I think, is going to be a key this year for this team. And the two guys in the middle should be really good.
When this team reported for spring training without Jose Abreu, everyone wondered, like, who will take over that leadership role and be that voice in the clubhouse. Has that happened?
You know, again, Pedro had the quote about leadership is taken and earned. You know, you don't just get handed that. And I think it's a group effort. You know, if for me, I think if there's just like a default person, it's Lance Lynn, but he's a starting pitcher, right? Mm-hmm. And I think John Lester was that guy back on the north side, you know, 7-8 years ago. But you do want a position player to kind of step up. I think Eloy can maybe be the guy to step up a little bit. You know, Moncada's quiet, but, you know, he's been here for a long time. And then Tim. I think Tim is kind of the spiritual leader of this group, and I think his energy is infectious. Elvis Andrus would be maybe another option, but I think it'll be more of a group effort. And, you know, Jose, for, you know, as great a guy as Jose was, you know, I'm not sure he was the rah-rah leader as much as he was just, he played through every little bump and bruise. He's one of my favorite players all time. I got to know him pretty well over the last 2 years, and I just was so impressed by the way he handled everything. But, you know, my experience is the best leaders are typically the guys who are not the most vocal, but they're just the guys who act and behave the way you want guys to do, as opposed to talk a good game.
So from my seat, and I'm not there every day like you are, I like to go to the games. I watch every single game on both sides of town. I'm thrilled baseball is back. Last year's team was not, the fan base didn't like the team. It just, for whatever reason, the vibe wasn't right. It seems to me, and I don't know Pedro Grifol at all, it seems to me like there's juice in camp. There's energy. There's a vibe. Doesn't mean you're going to win the World Series. It just seems like it's completely flipped simply because Pedro's there and Tony's not. And that's not a shot at Tony. It's just new energy. Is that a fair assessment?
I think having a new manager definitely gets people's attention. But I also think that Look, it's a very individual sport, and if you look around the clubhouse, there are a lot of guys who had disappointing years. So I think there's a lot of internal motivation, not just on a team level, but, you know, guys want to have good numbers, right? And those numbers typically translate into team success. So, you know, it's not a selfish thing as much as it's just, man, I wasn't really good last year, and I need to stay healthy, and I need to be the guy that everybody wants me to be. So, you know, there are a lot of those guys, I think, position player-wise, and maybe a couple of bullpen arms. Lucas Giolito, again, you know, he had a bad year. He's been very upfront about it. He looks like a totally different guy to me this year. Yes, last year, just it felt like everything that could go wrong did. Pedro's line is just watch us play, and we're going to find out, you know, starting tomorrow night. This team is flying under the radar for the first time since I've been here. I got here in 21. The expectations were through the roof. They had a great first half, won the division, got into the postseason. Last year, the expectations went up even more, and you know what happened. So maybe the forgotten White Sox, in air quotes, will be a good thing for them early in the year. And if they can get a little momentum, I think everyone will be back on their side.
Len, get your rest. Get ready to go, man. 162 and hopefully beyond.
And nothing about the pitch timer. Wow. I assume we all like it, yeah?
I love it.
I do. I like it. Yeah. Keep it moving.
I like that the shift is gone, too.
The shift is gone, yes. But you know what? I don't know if that's going to make a huge... It's going to look normal, right? You're not going to look out and go, where's the shortstop? That's going to be not that big, but I think the timer, you can't sit on your phone looking at Twitter cap the whole game. You got to pay attention now.
Yes, you do. Absolutely. I would never do that.
I know. Never. I'm just kidding.
Of course I would. Hey, best to your family. Look forward to seeing you at the ballpark next week.
All right. Love you guys. See
you. You too, Len. Thanks.
You're the best. There he is. Len Casper, the voice of the Chicago White Sox on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. I don't have that little jingle here. Hoodie has that, so I can't play.
I don't know the jingle.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Is that it?
You don't know. Jay Moore.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom. Don't worry, call the CarX man.
You've never heard that?
No, I don't think I have. If I have, I wasn't intentionally listening to.
Oh my God, that's like a famous jingle.
Well, I'm sorry.
That is shocking to me. Wow.
Sorry.
All right, you'd be shocked.
Sorry, CarX. I'm sorry.
That's it. You would be shocked if the Bears did what with the 9th overall pick. We had a bunch of calls earlier. We want to get back to those. So light them up. 312-332-3776. I say BPA. Best player available. I don't care what position the dude plays. Best guy on the board. Deion and I will discuss that with you next.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitter at ESPN 1000. Cap and Jay Hood are back on ESPN Chicago. Chicago's Home for Sports.
Did I just hear a commercial, Jay Moore, at the break for a concert that's in October?
Yeah, they try to sell it out early.
What okay. is it?
I didn't hear. I was busy. But, like, I look forward to when I go to the... I like the grocery store.
I love the grocery store.
So do I. I enjoy going.
Same. Like,
my wife is a buyer. Like, I need milk. Let me go get milk and get out.
Yeah.
I like to walk the aisles.
Yeah, I do too.
Oh, that looks good. I'm going to get that.
I always end up getting way more than I intended.
Same here.
Yeah.
But I look forward to when I grab, like, cream for our coffee.
Yeah.
Or milk or eggs, and I look at the expiration date before I buy it. My mom always said, always check, make sure it's, you know,
good
enough
for a while, yeah.
Thank you, Jay Moore. The expiration date is, like, July. I'm like, yes, summertime. I'm hearing ads for October. It's slow down.
I know.
That concert was for Queen and Adam Lambert coming to town.
What an interesting combination.
That is an interesting combination. I'm looking over there. I don't know what the Tedeschi Trucks Band is.
I feel like they've been there before.
They have.
Yeah, I don't know what that is either.
March 31 and April, I don't know. But my friend is performing April 22nd, Pat
McGann. Stop!
Pat McGann.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's awesome.
Pat McGann is one of the funniest human beings in the world.
That's awesome.
That dude's awesome. So, football. Bears sit at pick number 9 right now. Are they going to trade pick 9 and go down to 14, 15, 16, somewhere? I don't see any scenario they trade up. None.
I don't give up
draft capital? You worked so hard to
accumulate? No, I don't either. I don't either. Because they've given themselves the safety net for next year if things go awry with QB1, and which I don't think that they will. And so now they've given themselves more options to continue building through the draft next year. So, okay. No, I don't see them moving back up. But I personally think they should just stay at 9. Like, let's not keep moving around.
I got to know what I'm getting. What's my package coming back?
Yeah, I guess.
Like, if someone said to you, hang on a minute, we got someone at 9 that we want. We will give you pick 15 and a second rounder to let us move up, whatever the value. Okay. All right. I'm willing to listen if it makes sense to add another good player.
Well, I mean, at this point, I mean, I this is just me being like, why did we sit through 14 losses if we're not going to pick at least in the top 10?
Because you just got...
I know. Okay.
You know how many players you're getting for that one number one pick? You got 9. You got their second round pick. You got their first round pick next year. Their second round pick in the 25 draft. And DJ Moore. You got 5 players.
I understand that. I know.
So what's best case? Like, if Anthony Richardson falls to 9, that's probably best case scenario, right? Because you have Seattle at 20, you have Washington at 16, you have Pittsburgh. You have Detroit. You probably don't want to trade it with Detroit. But if Richardson falls and there's one or two teams in love with him, that's the best possible outcome in the top 10, right? If you want to trade back.
Yes, if Anthony, I don't see any scenario he's there at 9. Mm-hmm. You?
It sounds like he's going top 6.
Yes.
Now, Hendon Hooker, what a great name. Hendon Hooker, Mike Tannenbaum had him going 5 yesterday. He's the kid from Tennessee, the quarterback who tore his ACL. I was shocked.
5?
5.
That seems aggressive.
It does.
He's in that Baylor offense, too, where guys just kind of generally run open. They're not actually running routes. They're just told to kind of run in an area, and then your quarterback will
throw it.
Yeah, exactly. So it's very not conducive for receivers or quarterbacks of the NFL.
So if you tell me that someone's calling me and they want 9, and I feel like, like Houston's at 12.
Yeah.
1 and 12. They're at 2 and 12. If they said we got to go from 12 to 9, but we'll throw in something good, and I feel like, well, I got 5 guys on the board that I take any one of them, I'm guaranteed to get one, and I'm going to add another top 40 pick, sign me up. I'm in.
They're still not picking between 9 and 53.
Correct.
That's a really long time.
Correct. That's a long time.
That's a long time.
Well, if Houston decides, hey, we'll give you 12 and our second for and maybe a first or a second next year to go get 9.
I don't think you'd get that much.
If they're offering you just to move back 3 spots, I think it's hard to say no. Because it's only 3 spots. And if you can get another second round pick, especially their second round pick at the top of the second.
Right.
I mean, that's a good deal.
Totally a good deal. 312-332-3776. There's a lot
There's
of
so many scenarios
parts.
And there things are. To think about, and they it's hard to they just need so much that it's like they could go any direction, right? And feel and we would feel better about things.
Correct.
That's what I feel like.
That is correct. Let's go to Chase on the south side, our guy. Hey Chase, what's up, Sparkles?
Hey Chase.
Hey, good morning. How you doing, Cap?
What's up, man? How are you?
Good. Good talking to you again last night.
You
how
too.
How you doing, Deion? How you doing, Scoop?
I'm
great.
Good.
Talking to you all the time, Scoop. I don't know. Like, me personally, I agree with you, Cap. Like, sometimes you just got to get whatever, because they got so many holes on their roster that, you know, whatever they do, I don't think a lot of people will be frustrated about. I mean, my whole component is it's like you build your team through the draft. You know, that's how you build your roster up. And this team, for years have done a poor job, not just drafting, but developing. I mean, they have to develop these players too. I mean, I'm more a component of just getting the best player. And because, I mean, if they decide to go get a cornerback, I mean, that's just as important as getting an offensive lineman, because a cornerback makes just as much a difference as a pass rusher, because your cornerback shrinks the field and makes your pass rush better too. So I'm on a component of, hey, just get whatever you can just to make your roster better, because they're not in no position to take any risk because of where they are right now. I mean, they're just not in no position to gamble on any type of player. That's all I got to say, though.
Completely agree. You're not – and thanks for the call, Chase. Have a great day, man. Ryan Poles said, and we can play that again, Ryan Poles, when being asked about adding a talented player but one who has red flags.
Yes, in a better place. I think taking the time to really get to know the guys in a locker room and understand the maturity level there. But at the same time, you know, we also want to be careful because we're still young and impressionable. So I think making sure that we continue to bring, you know, a good core group in is important. You know, I think maybe down the road where, you know, you want to take a risk like that, I think the locker room begins to run itself, so you can take some chances. Right now, we need both. I mean, we need talent. But at the same time, I'm still going to be a little bit cautious of, you know, bringing in the wrong type of person.
There you go. I'm going to be cautious bringing in the wrong type of person. If they're at a different place, the culture should be able to soak up one questionable character.
You don't want to make a decision where you feel like red flags are hitting you in the face as you're making your selection. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You want to make sure that, and that's the research that they're doing. But again, this comes that is the sound of an informed man. Like, he knows what he wants to do.
Correct.
That's what that sounds like to me.
I think that guy is very sharp.
I do too.
Very sharp.
I do too.
All right, let's go to the phones. Kevin is in Park Ridge. Hey, Kevin, what's up there, buddy?
Good morning.
Not much. Good morning, guys.
Do you go to Rita's for Italian ice there?
There is, actually, which is impressive because it wasn't there for the past 30 years I've been born, but grateful for it, obviously. I was talking. I think we should take an old lineman, you guys, like, because we got this guy Sklarski, you know, everybody's talking about.
Who?
And from
Northwestern, Peter Skoronski.
Skoronski.
Yes. Sorry.
There you go.
That's okay.
Yeah, my bad. When I went to Maine South as well, so his alma mater, he is a champ for sure. His pedigree is great. His brother actually was like recruited. He was a catcher for us, and I can tell you, built like a bull, man. Like, he's going to be tough if anyone picks him. He's going to be a good one.
I am a fan of Peter Skoronski.
Thanks
I would love
call,
thanks
Kevin.
Kevin. I would love if the Bears went that direction on a lot of levels.
Yeah, I was told by somebody who knows the kid, they're not expecting the Bears to take him.
They're not.
Because they think he gets kicked inside as a guard and Poles is going to take his history as he likes longer armed guys, like Braxton Jones. So we'll see. Maybe they look at him and go, he's too good at guard, we're going to take him anyway. Maybe. Mm-hmm. I hope so. Harry's a really good kid.
He's a really good kid. I know.
I still think we're trading back, but we'll see. By the way, I mentioned to him Rita's Italian Ice. Have you gone?
No, I don't think so.
You live in that area.
I do. Mm-hmm.
It's the greatest. Northwest Highway?
Yeah.
It's the greatest.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Italian ice and ice cream and custard. Oh, my God. Yeah. Trust me. It's ridiculous.
All right.
Our friend
Noted.
Albert Breer is in Scottsdale covering the owners' meetings. We will chat with Albert next.
Here's today's headline with Cap'n J. Hood.
All right, time for headlines here on Cap'n J. Hood. White Sox open up in Houston. You heard Len Casper a little bit ago on the show. The Astros and the Sox are tomorrow night right here on ESPN 1000. Coverage starts at 5:30. Cubbies start their season tomorrow afternoon against the Brewers at Wrigley. Catch me and Hoodie 7 to 10. Carm and Yerk 10 to 2 at Old Crow Smokehouse before the game. It's brought to you by our great partners at Miller Lite. The Cubs signed Nico Hoerner to a three-year, $35 million contract extension to buy out the first year of his free agency. Jonathan Toews returned to the Blackhawks practice facility yesterday and expressed uncertainty about ever playing again in the NHL. And NFL announced they will allow players to wear the number zero. Take that, Jay Moore.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
Hello.
Football on ESPN 1000.
Hello, Bert.
Albert Breer.
Hey, Bert.
Senior NFL writer for SI.com joins Cap and Jay Hood.
Bert's it.
What? You're it, Bert.
On ESPN 1000.
What do you mean I'm it?
We see, that's the game. I just tagged you, and you're it until you tag somebody else.
Albert Breer.
No, I'm not playing a game. I'm reading, Ernie, and I'm not it.
Okay.
On Chicago's Home for Sports.
But Bert is it.
Our guy, Albert Breer, in Scottsdale, covering the owners' meetings. And we had Ryan Poles, Matt Eberflus, Kevin Warren all speak yesterday. Albert is on our CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. We'll start with the Bears.
Thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
But my question to you, Albert, is have you ever heard that jingle before?
Yeah, I think you played it the last couple of weeks for me, haven't you?
Yeah, but had you ever heard it before then?
No.
See, same. Thank you, Albert. Thank you.
You know, hey, Culligan, man, like the most popular jingles around. And Dion's like, never heard it.
Never heard it.
Wow.
No, I've never heard it either. I mean, is it a Chicago thing? Is that what the problem is?
Well, I mean, but I've been here and I know it, so I don't know.
Yeah.
I think it's national.
I thought it's national. I thought so.
We'll figure that out.
I mean, honestly, I'm being dead honest about it. The first time I heard it, I was kind of confused. So,
there you go.
Thank you.
All right, let me ask you a question. We'll get to, I've got a 49ers question for you. But Ryan Poles, I keep hearing from different people I trust, that dude is totally on board with trading out of number 9 if he gets the right offer. Do you think that pick's for sale?
Yeah, I mean, I didn't listen to anything. I mean, I would say this. There's some appeal, I think, for the Bears in keeping the pick because – The way their board sets up is there's 7 players I think they view as difference makers in the draft. And so, like, you know, the likelihood is one's going to get to you at 9. Now, obviously, there's, you know, some level of risk if you hang on to it that you can't get out of there and maybe all 7 guys are gone. But, you know, with the way quarterbacks are drafted and everything else, chances are one's going to fall to you. You know, and look, like I think you can kind of play that by ear too. You know, you don't need to trade the pick before you're on the clock. And, you know, if Anthony Richardson or Will Levis falls, which I think is absolutely possible, you know, could we be talking about somebody coming up to get him? You know, so, I absolutely think that, you know, that the Bears are very, very open to that. They don't have to make a decision on that anytime soon. You know, because typically picks outside of the top 5 aren't moved before the draft that way. And yeah, so I think it's a good place to be because I do think, like, you know, if you're talking about the top defensive players, you know, Will Anderson, Jalen Carter, Tyree Wilson, the top tackles, Peter Skoronski, you know, Paris Johnson, you either take one of those guys or maybe there's a team that thinks there's a drop off after, you know, one of those clusters is gone and gets motivated to come up and get them, or someone wants to come up and get one of the quarterbacks.
As exciting as things are around the Bears, it seemed from afar that at the owners' meetings, the guys from Green Bay were very popular talking about this Aaron Rodgers situation. How long are we going to still be held hostage by waiting to see what happens here?
Yeah, I think something is possible. Something gets done this week. You know, I don't think, I'll put it this way, I don't think the trade discussions are in as bad a spot as people make it out to be. I mentioned this in my column on Monday. You know, my feeling's been that the rapport between Joe Douglas and Brian Gutekunst, as personal as it got between Rodgers and the Packers, and, you know, as hard a line as both sides seem to be drawing on what they wanted, there's a really good relationship between the two general managers. And I think there's creativity and flexibility that can get you where you want to be. I think probably a part of that's going to, you know, involve conditional picks, and, you know, maybe it's a 24 conditional pick based on
how well Aaron Rodgers plays. Maybe it's a 25 conditional pick based on whether or not he plays in 24 or both. But I think because, you know, of the relationship between the two general managers, you know, Joe Douglas and Brian Gutekunst, those two spent a lot of time together as road scouts. I do think there's, you know, an opening here to get something done. I think progress is made this week. I think there's potential that it could be done before the end of this week.
So I want to ask you about Kyle Shanahan. He sits down and he basically says, and I'm reading some of the San Francisco media this morning getting ready for the show, he basically said that Brock Purdy is our guy and a seventh-round afterthought surpassed Trey Lance, who's no longer the quarterback of the future. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I mean, I think if they started OTAs tomorrow and everyone was healthy, Bryce Purdy would be getting the first team snaps. Now, look, like, here's the thing, Cap, is, like, they don't start tomorrow, and Brock Purdy isn't healthy. And, you know, there is an opening here for Trey Lance to make real progress and change people's minds over the next 5 or 6 months. There's a chance for Sam Darnold to do that, for that matter, you know? And so, look, like, there have been other quarterbacks that we've given up on in the past. You know, I mean, if you want to rewind a year, you'd see a lot of people were talking about the Eagles potentially being in on a quarterback in last year's draft. And, you know, if Russell Wilson didn't want to go there, there's a chance they may have made a move for Russell Wilson. You know, as crazy as that sounds, and a year later, Jalen Hurts has got them in the Super Bowl, and they're talking about, you know, getting him a top-of-the-market contract to lock him up long-term. So, you know, I think that what all that should you know, what people should take from all of that is, you know, like that, you know, Trey Lance has an opening here to get better. And, you know, is Brock Purdy the starter right now? Yes, he is. But, you know, Purdy's injury also opens the door for Trey Lance to make a lot of progress over the next 4 or 5 months and change the dynamic there. And, oh, by the way, again, Sam Darnold has an opportunity to do the same thing. You know, and, you know, the path for him would be, you know, sort of like Geno Smith's path in Seattle. So, you know, I think that, you know, like, Purdy's really impressed them and done enough to be the starting quarterback in 2023. But the injury definitely does open the door for the other two guys.
When you look at what the NFL owners voted on, not to, like, talk about this flexing Thursday night kickoffs, but they could have two short weeks or two Thursday night games. What do you make of all of that and how accepted that is around the league?
You know, I was talking to a general manager yesterday who said, you know, like, that he has heard from his players that, you know, like, that it's not just that week they feel, the players feel playing two games in 4 days. It's like for the couple weeks after that. And that was sort of what he was concerned about, is like, if players have to go through that twice in the same year, what sort of effect is that going to have on people? I also think, to some degree, it's tone deaf, right? Because if you guys remember, what was the big injury story of 2022? It was Tua, right? Mm-hmm. And how did the Tua thing happen? Well, it happened in part because there was a feeling that the Dolphins rushed Tua back out onto the field and didn't diagnose a concussion because of the time element between a Sunday game and a Thursday game. And, you know, here we are now talking about, you know, putting teams in position where they got to do that twice in a single year. Yeah. And potentially have to do it at the drop of a hat. And this story is one that, you know, that really stuck with me last year. I was talking to Nick Sirianni after they won a Thursday night game, and he said, he told me how, you know, he had given the game ball to his owner after they won that Thursday game. They played really well, you know, and got a lot out of the guys who were out there. And the reason he did it was because he said this to me. He's like, you know, it took everyone in the organization to play that well. It took the recovery people, the therapy people, the strength people, the conditioning people, like all the different people that they employ in the building. It was, you know, an all hands on deck effort to have the team in that position to play that well 4 days after playing a game. And, you know, I just kept thinking about that the last couple of days, and, you know, what sort of effort it takes to have a team ready to play, you know, 4 days later. And, And to be in a position to play that well 4 days later. And so, you know, I look at this as an unnecessary thing to appease a broadcast partner. And, you know, if it does anything for the rest of us, it certainly clarifies where, you know, the fans and players rank, you know, in comparison to the league's broadcast partners and where the priorities are.
Before we let you go, Lamar Jackson, is he going to be playing somewhere else? I know John Harbaugh said all the right things, but I have no intel. I just see, like, the Vikings going, we got 1 year left with Kirk Cousins. We can't win with this dude. Baltimore, you can have him. You're a playoff team. He's competent. You can figure out your thing, and we'll give Lamar the money. Is that a possibility?
I still think the Ravens, I mean, based on what the Ravens have offered and based on what the Ravens have, the way the Ravens have operated behind closed doors, you know, over the last 6 or 7 months, I still think they really want to keep him, and they want to find a middle ground here. It's just gotten to the point where I think it's a little harder to see the path out. And that doesn't mean there aren't, like, contractual fixes, contractual compromises. I think all of those exist. I think the problem is where this thing is, you know, from an interpersonal standpoint and how Lamar feels about the way that his situation's been handled. And, you know, I think that that's the real challenge here, is bridging that gap and getting to the point where I think Lamar and the team can sit there and say, we can both take wins and losses in this. Let's fix this and move on. I think part of that is because, you know, you have the fact that he's had to play out his rookie contract in his fifth-year option. I think things could get more interesting, though, after the draft, because there could be teams in the top 10 that aren't in love with this year's quarterback group that say to themselves, let's just wait until we get past the draft. Then we do not have to give up our first-round pick this year. You know, and say it's the Colts. Now we don't have to give up the fourth overall pick. And instead we're looking at giving up picks in 24 and 25, which, you know, if we have Lamar Jackson on our team, could be picks in the 20s. So I think he plays for the Ravens. I don't know the path out. And I do think that there's some level of, I would say, shifting in the way all this works once we get past the draft that could change things a little bit as far as other teams pursuing him.
Albert, have a great day, man. Appreciate you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
Talk to you.
Thanks, Albert.
There is Albert Breer on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, take thunder, that. Clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Rattle, rattle,
thunder clatter,
clattle,
boom, boom, boom,
boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
All right.
Jay Moore, is this a national company or are they just in our area? I think they're national.
National.
Like, how do you not know that jingle? Living under a rock, you and Albert?
I got a lot of stuff going on in my life.
I was also unfamiliar of this jingle
before.
There
we go. Thank you.
We started playing it.
Wow. We need to start playing it more.
Do we?
We'll have the Cap and Jay Hood classic cut of the day. Brought to you by my friends at Chicago Cut Steakhouse. Next.
Cap and Jay Hood are back.
Just when I thought I was out. They pull me back in.
On Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
So my buddy Eric.
Yeah.
Eric was the head pro at the Merritt Club.
Yeah.
And he's a golf pro. He is listening. Who in the hell are you working with today? I remember that jingle when I was 9. I'm 46. Thank you, Eric. You're
Don't
the man.
Don't jingle shame me. I didn't know.
Do you know Luna?
No. Wait. Luna.
773.
Yeah, I do.
202.
Luna.
Luna. Yes, I do know that.
You remember the Culligan Man jingle?
No.
It was like the little old ladies.
I'm sure
hey,
I know
Culligan
it.
Culligan Man. Yeah.
You know Empire, right? I know you know that, right?
588-2300. Empire.
Today.
Today. Yes, I do know that one.
Yeah. There's a billion of them.
Why is it
there?
Hard of my brain? This is...
Double A. Double A.
MCO.
AMCO.
AMCO.
Yeah. There's a bunch of them.
Call 1-800-STEAMER. Stanley Steamer makes your home cleaner.
Hey. I'm not that under a rock.
All right, time for the Cap and Jay Hood classic cut of the day. Brought to you by my friends David Flom and Matt Moore, who have the single best bar in the city when you come in there and have a drink before you eat your dinner.
I PJ don't go the there bar. Enough. I need to go.
PJ at the bar. They've got every kind of bourbon and vodka and this and that. And the wine selection's incredible. It's Chicago Cut Steakhouse.
Yo.
Yes, it's boring, but it's a sport.
Oh!
Whatever.
Cut it. It's not boring.
Okay, then you're boring.
All right, cut!
Or how about bagel with a schmear? Where is that?
I see just a straight everything bagel is on here, but no schmear, if you will. I don't like that word. Let's not say
really?
That anymore. Let's not say that anymore.
How about the word moist?
No. End it. Gross. We need to go to break. Gross. Let's not use those words anymore.
A moist schmear.
You're so gross.
You're bagel.
And that's all, folks.
I knew that was going to be it.
You knew it. You said, I know what this classic
exactly.
cut's going to be.
Yeah.
Like, there's nothing like a moist coffee cake.
Can we not just, what is it about that word? I don't like it. Nobody does.
I love it. Like, I like my chocolate chip cookies pliable.
Pliable?
Yeah. I hate crunchy cookies.
Yeah, okay.
That, like, crumble?
Yeah.
Hate them.
You like them to be?
Moist and tender and, soft okay. when you bite into them.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. With a schmear on top. Why don't I not like it?
I never got the scone thing.
Oh, I love scones.
And my wife started making cinnamon scones. Well, she always made them. She started, for me, making these cinnamon scones.
Yeah.
But they're moist.
Are you going to just find anything you can to say?
What else is
such a child? Stop it. Don't encourage him. What is happening?
She's been out of time. Anyway. Tomorrow morning, we will be at the Old Crow Smokehouse, 7 a.m., Hoodie and I. Their barbecue is amazing. And we'll be talking to Jed Hoyer on the show.
Awesome. Awesome.
So looking forward to
that. I'm excited. I'm excited to be over at Wrigley today and tomorrow.
I'm not going today.
I'm going to go today.
I am not.
For a little bit. Work for the Mighty 7 for a hot minute.
There you go.
And then Bulls tonight. This is a good day.
You're going as a fan tonight.
As a fan, yes.
I'm going Sunday with Brett to see Ja Morant and the Grizzlies lose to the Bulls, hopefully.
Hopefully. They're going to make it into that plan, and then we're all going to be so excited. And then
how about that?
It's
so
for nothing.
We're going to the game on Sunday. Brett's like, are you going to wear a jersey? I'm like, no, I'm not wearing a jersey to the game. You did it.
Sleeves underneath.
Right. You did it the North Carolina game, Dad.
Let the tats rock.
Right. Because we
He's not wrong.
We both wore Michael Jordan North Carolina jerseys that we bought out there.
That's awesome.
But he's wearing his Joakim Noah Florida 13 jersey.
That's fantastic.
So
we bought Cash a custom Bulls jersey a couple years ago. He will be wearing that.
Which player?
It's his number. It's or his name and his, yeah.
What's it say, Cash?
It says Crawford on the back. Right. Yeah.
How cool is that?
I think it's very cool.
Very cool.
Yes. You're very cool. This was fun.
This was great. You're awesome. Love working with you always. And we will see you tomorrow. Greeny is coming up next. And Carmen Yerk, Waddle and Peggy, 2-6. Bears Weekly, 6-7. That should be very enlightening. Black and Abdallah from 7 until 8. Thanks again to Chris Black last night. I had a blast working with that dude. We had a good time. Thank you, Jay Moore. Charlie.
Thank you,
guys. Funniest man at the station. We will see you tomorrow from the Old Crow Smokehouse. Have a great day. Take that. From Chicago.